Hi everyone. Today the Bible reading passage comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to chapter 10, verse 39. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand and one of the welcomers will pass you one. If you are using one of the church Bibles, it's on page 681. So again, that is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body, soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Thank you, Vivian. Hello, my name is Pastor Tom, one of the pastors in Bill at Grace Point. If you're new, it's great to see you here. If you're a regular, just great to also see you here, as I know Christmas is coming up and many people are going away, so I'll be praying for them as well as they are going overseas. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a very hot day today, but thank you, we do have a place to come to worship you, a place where we gather to hear your words, to sing songs, but ultimately to praise you as what you have done for us. I pray for today as we go going through Matthew, and I pray for us to have a heart to listen. Amen. We all want to be accepted in life, and no one like it being rejected. For soccer fans out there, who do you say is the best soccer player right now? Does anyone know? Messi? Well, yeah, I reckon it's Messi too. You don't have to agree with me, but if he's not one of the greatest soccer players, he's pretty close to being one right now. But do you know he also got rejected as a player? Two clubs back at home in Argentina had rejected him when he was young. Both local clubs didn't want to pick him up as a future player because they found out they might need to help pay for him $1,000 a month for growth hormone treatment after he was diagnosed with a deficiency as a child. And because of that, they rejected him. Well, in the end, Barcelona was the soccer club who signed him to join the club. They helped him complete the treatment. And most of you guys know the rest of the story. What a great player he was. Well, he still is. But that's part of life. Being rejected or being accepted. It's like when you get rejected a letter as you apply for work. You don't even make it to the first round or the interview. You get discouraged, sad, unmotivated, and even depressed. But you feel great when you get that letter, or no, a call. You get accepted for a job. You feel excited and very thankful, especially the letter of the contract where you sign and you give it back. It's the same for sports team. You make the cut, you don't. Same as university. Do you make it to the course or you don't make it to the course? But that's part of life. And this is what we see in today's passage. When the 12 goes out to proclaim the message of the kingdom of heaven, there's only two outcomes. People are going to reject the message or people are going to accept it. When this passage was read out, you might think as Christians, as we expect families to be broken up, turning against each other, is it wrong for a Christian to earn another tunic or another bag? And how does this passage apply to Christian delays in the loving lives? Before I go through today's passage, we need to understand the context, which also helps us how it applies to us today. So Jesus was born and was baptized by John the Baptist. And then he started his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, Verse 12 to 17, Jesus begins his ministry by calling people to follow him. And he gave a summary of his mission, which was to proclaim the message, the gospel, the kingdom. As he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, he also healed people of diseases. Following on in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, we see Jesus as a teacher. He teaches his disciples the meaning of the kingdom of heaven. And this is also known as the Beatitudes. And in the last 3 weeks, we heard Eugene preach. We heard him preach from Matthew chapter 8 to 9. And these passages looked at Jesus' healing ministry and the meaning of these miracles. And people's expectation of Jesus was very different compared to Jesus' expectation. And now we come to today's passage. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it's a summary of Jesus' ministry. Jesus proclaims and teaches the gospel, like chapter 5 to 7, and heals every disease, like chapter 8 to 9. While Jesus is teaching and healing, we see the following verse, 36. When he saw the crowd, so when Jesus saw the Israelites, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep which was lost, led astray without someone looking after them. Because if we read the Old Testament, we will remember Israel is God's flock, his sheep. They were God's chosen people. But Israel themselves and the leaders, the kings, the priests, and the judges had failed. Once in a while, a good shepherd is there for his sheep. But not all the shepherds were perfect at all. Then the sheep themselves did not obey God, which God led God to punish them. And in Jesus' time, God's sheep were truly lost. And that's why Jesus says in verse 37, the harvest is plentiful. And he asked God for harvests. Which leads to my next point. In chapter 10, we read that Jesus sends out the harvests. And in verse 1 to 7, we can see the harvests have been multiplied by 12. As Jesus sent his disciples to proclaim and teach the gospel and to heal, Jesus gave them authorities to harvest the field, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to drive out demons. Don't you see? The disciples' mission is the same mission as Jesus. Now the 12 disciples symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament. We can really see Jesus had gathered a new 12 tribes and begins proclaiming the message. We see this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Jesus instructs his disciples not go to the Gentiles, but go rather to the sheep of Israel. We need to understand Jesus wants to reach God's people first. And this is the time for God's people to hear the message. And we know the Gentiles will be next. And we can see that in Matthew chapter 28. Now, when we look at the 12 disciples, they come from different professions and backgrounds. We have fishermen, the bunch of fishermen that Jesus calls out. Then we get Simon, the Zealot. The Zealots are a group of God's people who were patriarchs of the nation of Israel. Nationals, you can call them. Then we get disciples from the other end of the spectrum, who was the tax collector, Matthew. Worked for the Roman Empire and exploit his own people. A person care for himself and making money. I bet Simon and Matthew had a lot to talk about, a lot in common as they hang around with Jesus. But don't we see? We see that the disciples are a bunch of misfits. But yet they are taught by Jesus and are now sent out to do some harvesting for the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 to 16, we have to read the urgency of the 12 disciples' mission. They are told not to take money, bags, extra tunics. The 12 must travel fast and light and go to the harvest. They need to trust that God will provide for them. Jesus also instructs the 12, for people who are worthy, which means people who are willing to accept this message, the 12 should stay with these people. But Jesus warns the 12, there will be people who will reject this message that they bring. For these people, Jesus says in verse 14, they should do the following. He says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Then the next verse is quite terrifying to read it, as it's regarding two cities in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah. These cities were destroyed by God because of the ongoing wickedness and sinfulness. Only Lot and his family were warned by two angels to flee that town. And you can read this in Genesis chapter 19. Now in Matthew chapter 10, verse 15, we are told these towns who reject the 12 will be worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah, as these people have in fact rejected the message of the Messiah, rejected Jesus Christ and his message. In the next verse, verse 16, Jesus uses animals as a metaphor on how the 12 should conduct themselves as to tell people about the message. They will be sent into dangerous surroundings, and the sheep among a pack of wolves. But Jesus also tells the 12 to be shrewd like snakes, yet be innocent as dove. This means that to act with prudence, cunning, and not be gullible. But they're not to be rogues, but to be pure, honest, transparent, and sincere as doves. They are to have the balance of the two. To be prudent, to be blameless, to be pure in order to survive in this world. It's the same today. As Christians, when we talk with non-believers, it's not about knowing everything and knowing all the answers. Not to get into an argument, because we know that no one wins. And yes, you might win the argument, but you probably lost that person. But it's about knowing when to say things and when not to say things. There's a time and a place for everything. And a great example is Israel Folau. He's not wrong with this message, but I wonder, is there a better way of doing it than putting it in a social media? The next part of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus warns the 12. The 12 will face conflict, rejection, and even persecution. But he also encourages them, as there will be some who will accept this message. People will either reject the message or accept this message. So let's have a look at what kind of rejections the 12 may face. In verse 17, Jesus tells the 12 that they get arrested, put into prison, flogged, physical beaten up because of Jesus' message. They'll be persecuted by people, by their own people. And in verse 21, they will cause division in the family as well, as some family members will reject the message, but others' family might accept it. And they'll be hated by doing that. In verse 23, they will be going to place to place, from one town to another town, from house to house, as people will be rejecting the message. They won't be comfortable. They'll be fleeting and running away. But with all these rejections that they were going to have, being an outcast and suffering for Jesus, Jesus gives them comfort and acceptance of the message that they have. So let's have a look at what Jesus tells the 12 to stand firm on. In verse 19, Jesus gives them comfort. They are not to worry when they face challenges and even being arrested, as the Father will send them a Spirit who will speak to them, for them. They will know what to say and not to panic. In verse 22, Jesus encourages them to stand firm to the end, to know the truth and to remain on it. Even when they face all kinds of trials and difficulties. In verse 23, Jesus encourages them that they are able to flee and run, and it's not to argue with people. If they're being persecuted or not getting anywhere with this person, they have to flee, to leave and go somewhere else. But the real comfort is in verse 26 to 28. These verses should bring comfort to all God's people. It's about the kingdom of heaven has come. It has come. Jesus tells them, don't be afraid of man and what they can do. In verse 26, so do not be afraid of them, as the truth will come out in time. And in verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. But in the next line, Jesus tells them, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And with this, Jesus talks about how the Father cares for his own. If the Father cares for the birds, how much more the Father will care for his own people. Jesus tells the 12, don't look at the world and what the people can and cannot do, as the world is only short-lived. Care for what the future can hold. And it's only God the Father who has the right to determine life on earth. God has the authority and the power to judge the afterlife. Jesus tells the 12, don't worry about the problems they are facing now, but take comfort in this message, in his message. The point is that God holds the authority of life and death. And whoever acknowledges me, Jesus, before others, he will acknowledge them before his Father in heaven. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus comforts the 12 as they will be facing rejection. And it's the same, for us today. And yes, people will also reject this claim right now. People will call you names. People will defriend you in Facebook. But Jesus also tells us to stand firm. Know that this is the truth. So don't be afraid of man, can or what they can do. And let's go to my last point. Sometimes we forget the message of Jesus. It's a message which challenges people. And next week, Peter Hughes, our youth pastor, will dive deeper on this, on regarding about family, on this verse 32 to 39. But let me give you a summary of it anyway. Jesus' message would divide the closest thing to us, like family, experience, culture, and tradition. It's because these are the things we identify with. The 12 disciples had to face this in their own way. I'll give you some examples. Peter left his family business to follow Jesus. Simon, the Zealot, had to let go of his tradition to follow Jesus. And Matthew dropped his money-making business to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus and not make money was going against the culture of that time. There's no difference today. And this is the challenge which Jesus tells his disciples in verse 38. To take up the cross and follow him only. Yes, not keeping the family business which has been passed down from generation to generation, if it means to follow Christ and his callings. And this is very hard. It goes against the tide. And your family and your friends might reject you and think you're foolish to follow this message that Jesus has. People see you as a rebellious, lost black sheep. I still remember as a student, I met when I was in Bible College in South Africa. And for him to go to college was one of the hardest choices he had to make. His family didn't have much when he was young. His parents were working all the time. So he had to stay with his grandmother. He looked after him and his siblings. But for him, to get into law, a university, and to finish his law degree, it was what is one of the biggest things for him. But not just for him, for his whole family. But when he told his parents that he decided to go to Bible college, it wasn't easy for them to hear. In fact, he got kicked out of home. Not just because he didn't want to be a lawyer, but because he's the oldest in the family. And in that culture, being the oldest, you have a lot of responsibility. But there was one more thing. He told his parents he was a Christian, as his parents were Muslims. It was hard, but he knew it was the right thing to do. He took up the cross and followed Christ. But you know what? It's no different for us. We might have come across this in our path, personal life. We need to take up the cross and follow Jesus. And even being rejected by people, to put Jesus first and not work, not your friends, family. Carrying a cross could mean doing the right thing and not following your work orders or your boss to cut corners on a job. And yes, you could be frowned upon by your actions, your work colleagues. Carrying a cross could be at home. Your parents feel that you're spending too much time at church or giving too much energy and money to God's kingdom. But this is the thing. Don't think it's a sacrifice when you're following Jesus. Don't think it's a sacrifice when you're following Jesus. Because it's not thing compared to what you receive from God, which is eternal life. It's in fact, this is a blessing. As you understand what the treasures you will get, you will receive in heaven. And that's the comfort that we have. We know God will provide for us and what we need. Even today, he blesses us with work, with university, with a degree, food on the table, and even health. I know we're all pretty young here, except for me. It's so easy for us to forget those blessings until we lose it. And I know the world today tells us to have more, to have more. Go with your passion in life. Go with your desires, thinking that will make you happy for your future. I'm talking about desires, as I know there's a fair bit of you guys are going out. And I'm talking about sexual desires that you could be watching and be careful. As a worker, I know some of you guys are working and climbing up the corporate ladder. Desires of being greedy, wanting more and more. Or just jealousy, jealous of other people. Or it could be collect more riches on earth and invest so that you can retire early. And that's all you want to do. But what does Jesus say in verse 39? Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for the sake will find it. Don't put this off, but do it now. Put him first in your life so that you gain life. You gain eternal life. Take up the cross and follow him. With all your heart, with all your soul and strength. To finish up, there are two important things or areas that I'd like to apply to us today. Firstly, it's in chapter 9. Jesus tells the 12 disciples, or tells his disciples in verse 37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord. In ESV, it says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvesters, therefore, to send out workers in the harvest field. So let me give you some statistics. This is from McKindle, which is a survey on faith and belief in Australia. And this is a data from 2017, so it's not very old, but it's not the latest one, right? And if you want more data, I can actually pass it on to you. Just ask me. So the study showed that 2/3 of Australia, which is 68%, follow a religion or have some kind of spiritual belief. So it could be a different religion or believe there's a God or a supernatural thing. So the number of Australians who did not identify with a religion or super belief was 32%. But however, that's rising up. But out of the 68%, we have some kind of spiritual belief, 45% will identify themselves as Christians. Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, Pentecostals as well. But 15% will go to church at least once a month. And only 7% active and involved with church. But with just some basic statistics, in Australia, we know that the harvest is plentiful. There are people who still have this kind of belief there is a God out there. 68%. So there are people who are seeking or used to go to church and are open to connecting to a spiritual belief. I call these low-hanging fruits, which we can invite them to church. Yes, some will reject it, but some will also accept it. Why not invite them back to church? Or people who used to go to Sunday school or youth group, why not invite them back to church? Or they might want to have a fresh start at the beginning of the year. So why not invite them back to church in 2020? Christmas is coming. Wouldn't this be a great time to invite them back to church? Being rejected or accepted, be the harvester that goes out and harvests the fruits as the kingdom of God has come. Secondly, what does it mean for us today to take up the cross and to follow Jesus? And from the past week, we had looked at Matthew chapter 8 to 9. Where Jesus challenges people and his disciples to follow him. I mean, if you look at chapter 8, verse 18, a man tells Jesus that he wants to follow him. And Jesus replies, to follow me, leave the dead. Then, in chapter 9, verse 9, Jesus calls Matthew to drop his job and to follow him. And we see Matthew, the tax collector, drops everything and follows Jesus. And now that's a challenge for us today. Yes, we are different and even have different stages of life. As uni students, are we using our time wisely as the summer break has started? With time, how are you using it to follow Christ? As a worker, thank God that you guys are working. But as a worker, is that all we do? Just climbing the corporate ladder? Or taking it day by day, just cruising? How are you as a worker taking up the cross? As a married couple, newlyweds, trying to adjust to living with someone else, and still debating, should the toilet seat be up or down? It's true. How are you guys going to carry the cross for Jesus as a couple? I know there's not many parents here, but one day you guys will all be parents. Don't just think about what it means to be a Christian, but what are you going to teach your future children? Are you going to teach them that they are the most important thing in life? Or is Christ the most important thing in your life? Because we know, monkey see, monkey do. So what does it mean, following Christ as a family? So yes, it doesn't matter which stage of life that we're all at. We still need to be responsible to what Jesus has to say to us today. So we're taking up the cross and following Christ in your life, putting Him first. Or is there something else in your life are we following and putting first? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you gave us your Son Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross to give us eternal life, as we ask for repentance. So let us be people who will carry the cross, whatever we do in our life, so that your name will be glorified forever and ever. Amen.